personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, welcome to episode 61 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. This is all Royal Rumble all the time. We are recording this show, Chad and I, that is, literally moments after the Royal Rumble ends. So, Chad, I know we're going to have some thoughts that are probably once the light of day hits and Raw obviously airs, we may have different perspectives, but we're kind of going with our gut here right now and posting things. I've posted a few things on social media already as well, but first of all, welcome to the show, and give me your real quick thoughts on the undercard. We're going to talk very briefly about the undercard and talk more about, obviously, the main event and the Rumble match itself.
Yeah, thanks for letting me back on the show. It's always good to come back and give my thoughts. I promise, you know, it's 2016, it's a new year. I'm going to try not to be so negative, but there's just so much that I want to, not to complain, but frustration, I should say, is the key word coming out of Royal Rumble. Going with the undercard, you know, the matches were good. I have personally... I think Charlotte versus Becky was match of the night. I thought that was probably one of the best Divas matches that has been and could actually be a catalyst for the Divas revolution that is apparently still ongoing. But everything else, wow, I just had this sense of been there, done that, over it. Like I don't want to see Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens fight anymore. We were emailing back and forth throughout the show. The Usos were gone for like 6 months last year, and I feel like they never went away for some reason. I don't care about New Day and Usos. Charlotte and Becky, even though it was a good match, it's been done multiple times. And then you have ADR, you know, Alberto Del Rio and Kalisto, and what? After tonight, what did the last 2 weeks mean?
Right.
Kalisto just got the title, won the title, lost the title, won the title. It's like, I don't care anymore. Like, you know, as I texted you after the show, during the show, I know I'm supposed to care that Kalisto won, but I don't. Because part of me is just like, okay, wait till Raw and he'll lose it back. Like, you got to give momentum to things that happen in order for people to care.
I agree with everything you've said. I will tweak the thoughts on New Day and the Usos. I love New Day still. And honestly, and I think I had sent you a message on Facebook when that match started that I thought New Day was going to lose and Usos were going to win. That was probably the one match I did not, and I didn't really put official predictions out, but that was the one match that I did not pick correctly. I figured... with the Usos coming back, but New Day is still so over. But I do think there needs to be, and I don't know if it's calling up some guys from NXT. I know that they had that little pre-show match with the makeshift team of Mark Henry and Jack Swagger and Darren Young and Sandow. I don't know. Are they going to be real teams now? I'm not sure.
I mean, you could go with Mark Henry and Swagger and call them American Tough or American Strong, and it would be a perfect team. I think part of the problem is much like the Divas division, for some reason WWE doesn't focus on an entire division. They just focus on champion and challenger.
Yeah.
And they cycle through those matches, and then all of a sudden a new team is the number one contender, and they're doing good. Like, you got to build a division around it so that you actually care when you put a team into a title match.
Yeah, I agree with that. And speaking of title matches, obviously the big title match of the night was the Royal Rumble 1 versus 29, or 1 versus all as they were billing this, Roman Reigns having to defend. And I'm going to start off, I'll let you start off, because you almost pegged it precisely in a blog earlier this week on my123cents.com, where you talk about 2016, comparing it to 1999 with the Vince McMahon, Stone Cold, Steve Austin eliminations, or however you want to call it, where they both left the ring.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping I was going to be wrong. Just the story that we're telling, there were a lot of similarities. If you haven't read the blog, I'll give you a quick recap, but head over to my123cents. You can find it in the archives from last week. Read it. Basically, I knew Roman Reigns was not going to be eliminated early on in the match, because part of the drama is to see if he can win. And once he's eliminated, you eliminate that drama. So he's going to be there, but I didn't see him lasting until the end and be competitive. So it was like, how do you get him there to the end?
And you could even see the fatigue, I thought, early on in his face, or at least it appeared that he was kind of. And I'm not criticizing. I like Roman Reigns, but he's not designed for a 60-minute match like that, or however long it would have ended up being.
Right, and that's. I was flashing back to 2006 when Rey Mysterio won with his 62-minute performance. That is probably one of my top five most disliked Rumbles as well, just because that is Mysterio and Triple H start at 1 and 2, and then they're there at the end. But I think they spend probably a good half of the match just lying in the corner while everybody else fights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it. You know, you can't go all out for 60 minutes, although Ric Flair would probably tell you you could, although he also probably used a lot of headlocks and, you know, chin rest, whatever. But when you have a guy's just sitting in the corner watching other people, it kind of detracts from their accomplishment. And then, you know, with this year's Royal Rumble, having the League of Nations attack Reigns and putting through a table, and then he gets stretchered out, and he's gone for half the match, which a comment that I read after the show, which I agree with, why didn't the League of Nations throw Reigns back in into the ring, then get in and throw him over the top rope to eliminate him? Why did they let him be carted out with that chance to still come back? Again, I know you and I look at wrestling logic, and we really should not, because it doesn't exist, but it's those little things that It's the attention to detail that if you're going to tell a story, you really have to put it, you know, you have to add those in. Otherwise, your story falls apart.
I agree with that. Let's talk a little bit, and we're going to kind of ping pong back and forth on the match itself and hit different points, but we've been kind of negative for the first 7 minutes of the show, so I'm going to throw a couple positives out there, and we'll start off with the elephant in the room, and that's AJ Styles debuting. I'm not going to lie, I had goosebumps when he came out, and coming out at number three, I was a little nervous that they were going to just start feeding the first five or, you know, 10 guys to Roman to just toss over. So when he got in there and was actually competitive with the champion, I was excited to see that.
Yeah, my negative that I will throw in for this, and it kind of goes for the entire Rumble, is when they put the countdown in the corner, and it would cut to zero, it would go to zero, and then there'd be like a 2 second from when the music hits before they cut to the wide shot to show you who's coming out. And so when Styles comes out, who doesn't have recognizable music, I'm sitting there going like, oh, okay, who is it? Who, you know, it was lost on the viewer at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they should have had a shot of him sooner. The rumors were that he was going to be there, and then TNA released a statement over the weekend saying that they had actually signed him along with Doc Gallows and Machine Gun Carl Anderson back in December, and then, you know, it's kind of like seeing if TNA was kind of taking this stance of, well, if you use him, there might be legal action, but, you know, then AJ's lawyer's like, no, he never signed anything. And I don't know, one, I don't know why TNA did that and put it publicly. That sounds like something you keep behind the scenes because you just make yourself look more like TNA. But, yeah, it was good to see. It's interesting to see AJ in there. I'm curious to see what's going to happen now that he is obviously, I would say, going to be part of the main roster. I don't see him going back to NXT now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think he had a decent showing. He never got to hit the Styles Clash, which is probably a good thing, given, you know, I don't – given his size and the size of some of the people that he was trying to do the Styles Clash on, it would have been a pretty bad debut for him to mess up the Styles Clash.
Do you think that debuting someone like AJ Styles in the Royal Rumble, where obviously you are not going to win that match, does that hurt him or does that help him, do you think?
Well, I think it was fine because, as we said, he was competitive.
Mm-hmm.
He come in and been thrown out in 2-3 minutes. Then, yeah, you're not doing him any favors. But I think this one was done well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we'll see what happens next. But speaking of him debuting, and I want to tangent off of that, that was really the only real surprise of the night. I guess unless you count Goldust, not sure if he's been back.
No, he's been back. I think some may argue Triple H, but I don't know. I mean, I think all the smarts knew he was going to be back.
But, I mean, like, you don't get the, you know, last year we got Boogeyman.
Right.
This year there wasn't any nostalgia pops.
And I'll say this, and I think that this is a – and I throw this in as a positive – although I do like the nostalgia pops, but since this was for the championship, you know, obviously I don't want to see Repo Man come back and compete for the championship. But we had six, and I haven't done any fact checking, but like comparatives. But we had six guys. This was their very first Royal Rumble, who are all on the roster, or whether it's NXT or on the main roster: Tyler Breeze, Braun Strowman, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Neville, and Kevin Owens. So, to me, that was a very good showing, and they all did very well, I thought, considering it is their very first Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, and you kind of went with where I was going with the nostalgia pops. Like, I don't think this was the year to bring back people. So I think that actually helped the match, because you had more people who, well, you probably didn't expect Tyler Breeze or Titus O'Neil or Stardust to win. They at least have the credibility of being a current performer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't think, you know, probably R-Truth was the weakest person in the match, which he was playing his goofy character that doesn't really know what's going on. So it worked, and it gave the crowd something to, you know, a lighter moment to enjoy during the match. But yeah, I don't think anyone really, to the best of my memory, came off looking weak.
I agree with that, and I think that I don't remember there being anyone, and it's funny, we just finished watching this 30 minutes ago. I don't remember there being any, like, every year it seems like there's one of those really quick eliminations, and I there were a couple that were kind of quick. I guess you could argue Rusev's elimination was kind of quick off the bat, but there wasn't like that Santino or Warlord moment from you know, the 90s, or, you know, when Santino was eliminated.
I mean, Rusev, I like the kind of continuity of having he and Reigns start since they finished last year's. But then when he came back out with the League of Nations and attacked Reigns, he kind of, whatever, air quoting, damage was done by having him eliminated so quickly, I think was negated, because the fans probably only remember him beating up Reigns and Reigns carted off. And then by the time the ending happened, no one cares anymore anyway, so.
Right, and obviously we'll save the ending for the ending, but of course, when, and you knew that was going to happen, when Lesnar came out, you know, the crowd popped like crazy, and Suplex City ensued. my big thing, and I've blogged about it and I've complained about it on social media, is when guys are eliminated or guys who aren't even in the match get involved and eliminate someone. And it drives me crazy because, again, going by that whole logic thing, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon owns the company. Why couldn't he have had everybody come in and throw Roman Reigns out at the beginning of the, you know what I mean? It's just that continuity. And I get that it's all part, you know, I mean, this dates back to when Giant Gonzalez entered and eliminated The Undertaker in 1993. So to have the Wyatt family return back to the match and eliminate Lesnar, which it seemed a bit, I don't know. I felt like, and obviously I was hoping for a Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar showdown at WrestleMania, yeah. But it appears we're going to get Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar instead.
Yeah, I think I would probably prefer to see a Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, Haas fight. But yeah, I think when Brock was eliminated, if Bray would have been involved more in the actual elimination, maybe I could overlook it. But yeah, I'm with you. You have guys coming in that have been eliminated, eliminating people. Why not? Why only eliminate Brock? Why not keep going and eliminate other people to give Bray a better shot?
Yeah.
No. And you just mentioned something I'm trying to. Oh, point that you just made and that I texted you about during the show is I don't understand why everyone didn't attack Reigns, why people were fighting on their own while Reigns was still in there, because as you commented, that eliminating Reigns doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be champion because you still have to win the Rumble. But if you're a heel, I would think that if you eliminate Reigns, then you kind of earn a favor from the McMahons that mm-hmm. you may, you know, want to play off later, which granted, this comes back to wrestling logic and forethought. But that just seems like something like take out the champ, like. And especially, and I understand wrestling reality exists differently than real life reality, but he is your odds on favorite to win. Get him out of it. You know, if you got four guys in the ring, attack one guy instead of splitting off and fighting amongst yourselves. Like, but again, I think that's maybe a little too nitpicky and just looking for what I think should have happened. But
right. And that makes sense. Give me your thoughts real quick, because, and we're speculating, but on Bray versus Brock at WrestleMania, looking back at Bray's last two WrestleManias, fighting The Undertaker last year and John Cena the year before, losing to both of those men, presumably, I mean, if they're going to continue to keep Brock as this strong beast, are they going to just feed Bray Wyatt to him, or will they pull off some sort of upset and give Bray a win at WrestleMania finally?
I would like to see Bray win if they go in this direction. I think it would help get him back to where he was 2 years ago. Because the thing is, the Wyatt family, you know, Michael Cole and JBL keep telling us that they're these deadly monsters and they're dangerous and whatnot, but they don't win the big matches. So you got to give them a bone every so often. And I don't think you could do anything to Lesnar that will deplete him in the eyes of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think you also have to look that Bray, barring any major injury, is probably going to be around for the next 10 years. Whereas Lesnar, I'm not sure what his contract he signed last year, how long it was for, I think 3 years. But he's more of a part-time and, you know, a limited time performer. So one of the biggest problems that WWE has right now going into WrestleMania is they don't have credible stars, and you need to build that. So I would definitely put Bray over Brock at Mania.
Mm-hmm. And we'll obviously, once the time comes, we'll talk more about that. I'm trying to think if anybody else kind of stood out in terms of their performance in the Rumble. I thought it was kind of hokey that, you know, they brought Roman back in after Brock had been eliminated, because there had been a lot of speculation and a lot of buzz of having those two kind of square off again, and I don't know if there's they may be saving them for something else. I don't know, but you know, it was almost it wasn't very long after Brock got eliminated that Roman came back into the the fray. You
know, maybe Brock or maybe Reigns was hanging out backstage and listening to The Miz on commentary, and he's like, you know, wait and pick your time, pick your moment, go at the opportune time, and so he waited for Brock to get eliminated and then went back in. I don't know. One things that I remember from the Rumble, just a little tidbit, was when Sami Zayn came out and he's like throwing his arm around like his little Scott dance thing. I'm like, dude, be careful. This is how you hurt yourself last time. Don't get too excited before you get in the ring. And I like that he went after Owens. It's good continuity. I mean, going back to NXT and even going back to the Indies. I'm curious to see, coming out of this, where Kevin Owens goes now, going into WrestleMania, because there seem to be like three or four different directions his, you know, his WrestleMania path could go. Although, as you mentioned, and will sadly be true, he'll probably get put into a multi-man ladder match instead of having a good feud.
Yeah, or the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah. No, I think he's good enough to actually get somewhat of a match.
Mm-hmm.
So,
who would you put him in there with, based on after the Royal Rumble?
You know, I don't. I mean, before the Rumble, I was all in for a Kevin Owens Brock Lesnar match. I think that could have been different and exciting. Now, I don't know. Do you go with Sami Zayn? Do you go AJ Styles? Although I like your idea of AJ Styles and Neville. You know, getting a shot, but again, those two, that seems like a match that they might throw on a lesser pay-per-view, but on WrestleMania, they're going to be like, oh no, we need to put these guys, that's not a big enough match to entice people to watch, we need to throw them into a multi-man match. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, because I don't know which way WWE is going, and I'm sure we could fantasy book our own WrestleMania that would be a decent card. I don't know if it would sell out AT&T Stadium, or if it'd just be too smart heavy, but I guess that's the good thing, is they have multiple options should they choose to use them.
Yeah, and we of course still have Fastlane coming up to figure out what will happen next. So number 30 hits, and I don't think anybody, or I don't think many people, were surprised. I know a lot of people over at the My123Cents Facebook page and who were part of our contest kind of speculated that Triple H would either be number 30 or number 31 in some sort of attempt to screw over Roman Reigns and make sure that Triple H becomes the champion. Were you surprised at all that Triple H eliminated Reigns before the match was over, if that makes sense? I think you know what I mean.
Yes and no.
Uh-huh.
Yes, just because I figured it would come down to Reigns and Triple H. No, because I think WWE knew that's what people expected, and so this was like to throw a little bit of a curve into the situation. I saw another comment that I saw online after the show was, why didn't Reigns pull a Hogan and help eliminate Triple H?
Mm.
You know, given Dean, so Dean could win the title, which I think would have been better. And I just, but yeah, I, you know, after I think number 24 came out, I texted you that I think I knew how this was going to play out.
Yeah.
And it didn't actually go the way that I thought. I figured the League of Nations would all be the last, like, three guys to come in. And then they would eliminate Reigns would eliminate them, and then Triple H would come out after that, which, I mean, kind of got that, but not exactly. I do wish Triple H would have been number 31, because, as I said, that would have saved us postage on having to mail out prize packets for our Rumble contest. But no, I can say, I guess, it made sense for Triple H to be in the Rumble. It made sense for him to be number 30 because he is part of the authority. And, you know, he's going to stack the deck in his favor. But as I had mentioned earlier in the day, I think the crowd would have accepted it maybe a little more had he come in around number 10 and had then made it known that he was going to be in the Rumble and that no one was allowed to touch him. And I don't know if it would have worked better, but when he comes out at 30, I think the crowd was happy to see him and the fact that they knew then Roman wasn't going to win. But I don't think anyone was happy to see him because they knew it was going to come down to him and Roman.
Mm-hmm. I partly expected for a brief second there for there to be an embrace with Ambrose and Triple H to eliminate himself. And yeah. Then Ambrose be your new authority member and new champion. I'm kind of glad they didn't do that, though.
Yeah, well, I was thinking because Ambrose was still IC champion, that they weren't going to have a double champ.
Mm.
You know, and I think that kind of, which I think if he would have lost the title to Owens earlier, it might have thrown a little bit of, not suspicion, but it would have made people question, like, oh, did he just lose the title earlier so that, you know, they're going to give him the world title now?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been one way to go.
Well, do you, like, what do you think in terms of, you know, this was the 29th Royal Rumble? Where do you rank it in history? And I know that's probably not a fair question, but I think you've seen most of them, or if not all of them, in at least the last few years. I know we've kind of gone back and watched a lot of them again.
Yeah, it's hard because I've watched most of them. I haven't watched all, and I don't recall all of them, even if I've watched them.
Mm-hmm.
If I watched them more than 2 weeks ago, I still stand by. I think 99 is the worst, and obviously 92 is the best. This one, I probably somewhere in the middle if you have to rank, because I think the early ones that don't have the title shot option or stipulation to them, I think you have to look at those differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those cases, you know, even though, yes, you had Hulk Hogan win twice and I think he's really the only major one to win, but the era of anything could happen, anybody could win.
And right.
Once you add that Mania stipulation, you know, like, okay, it's going to be one of, like, five people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know, I was trying to think before the Rumble tonight, what was the last Rumble where the winner wasn't necessarily who the fans wanted, but was somebody the fans didn't want? Because it seems like the last few years, whoever's won, the crowd has been either reacting negative to or indifferent. So I would put this probably. I mean, it is a fair comparison to probably at least the last five.
Mm-hmm.
Rumbles.
I would say, Ian, I agree. I wasn't thrilled with the outcome. But again, I'm not going to be too judgmental until we see exactly what happens, you know, after Raw, and then of course Fastlane, and then what builds up to WrestleMania, which my suspicion is it will still be Triple H defending against Roman Reigns in some form or fashion somehow. But
I want to stop you right there and go off on this point, because we were talking before we started recording this. And I was talking with our friend Travis after the Rumble. I don't see how WWE, Vince McMahon, Triple H, Stephanie, whoever is in charge of decision making, can look at this show and say, okay, we need to put Roman Reigns back in the title hunt.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out for the Rumble, there were more boos than cheers, at least to my hearing.
Right, I agree with that.
When he came back from the beatdown, I believe there were more boos. When Triple H came out, there was actually cheering. And then when Roman was eliminated, everyone started doing the yes chant. Like, they just have. I understand that that Reigns is their wannabe golden child, their next big star. And I'm not saying that he won't be there, but right now is not his time. Kind of like how they did with Rock. You know, Rock came in, was pushed, fans didn't take to him. It took some character development and more time to get the Rock to where he became the Rock. And I think that's what Roman needs. And even comparing this Rumble to 99, the difference between the reaction for Stone Cold and the reaction for Reigns, Stone Cold was already over for two and a half years by the time they tried to screw him out of the Rumble. Reigns has just been pushed so hard that I think part of it is Cena fatigue, where people just see him as the next coming of John Cena. And, you know, people are tired of John Cena. So the answer is not to replace John Cena with someone else, but give them the same treatment. If I was booking right now, and I have no way to say that I know what's best and my ideas are good or anything, but I would seriously call an audible going into Fastlane and try to figure out what is a better title match than Triple H versus Roman Reigns. Because I hope I am wrong if they go in this direction, but with a crowd that large that is more of a smarkier crowd, I think you risk Roman Reigns getting booed out of Dallas if they don't do something drastic in the next 10 weeks to change that, which I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, and I guess that's what we're going to have to kind of wait and see what they end up doing both with his character and Triple H's, because, you know, I think that he is still, Triple H is still going to be your heel authority figure.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting, to say the least.
The thing, too, it's, we're in 2016. Why is Triple H headlining WrestleMania?
Right. I agree. I cannot disagree with you, especially when we talked about, and what I guess my favorite part of the Rumble was the fact that you had six guys who had never been in there before and who all, you know, are some of them current superstars in my eyes, but are the future of the company. Yeah. And what a rub that would have been. I'm not saying that Kevin Owens should have won the world title tonight, but
I think the crowd would have loved it if he would have.
Yeah, it would have been something different, and it would have been something I think a lot of people didn't expect. And I know that there are some people who, aren't in, and not just Kevin Owens, but he was the one I picked off the list. Sami Zayn or, you know, Tyler Breeze, AJ Styles, any of them. It would have been something different, but again, it is a huge WrestleMania. I think this will obviously be the biggest WrestleMania of all time, crowd-wise. So,
yes. But here's the thing, too. You have the network, so you're not trying to sell pay-per-view buys. And I don't know. There may be people out there who buy the network just to get the monthly, you know, major shows. But WWE is getting more original content added. They're getting more archival stuff. I think the network should, at this point, be selling itself. And I noticed tonight the show did not get over with until, I believe, like 8:01, 8:02 my time. So it went a little over 3 hours. So yeah. I don't know if that affected the traditional pay-per-view audience. But without having to necessarily sell a monthly pay-per-view, I think now is a better time to shake things up and do something different, which I think you and I should also do, because it seems like for the last 2 years we've been talking about how WWE needs to shake things up and do things different, but we're in the same boat with them where we just keep repeating ourselves.
We need to apply for jobs there, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that I'd love to just to experience it, but I think we would both walk out of there broken and probably less wrestling fans.
Even more demoralized than we already are. Yeah. So do you have the Royal Rumble contest? I know you were running that over on the Facebook page, and we picked up some new likes. So if you are listening to the podcast for the first time based on that, thank you for joining us. Are you going to post all that over on Facebook?
Yes. Hopefully, well, probably by the time this is up, I will post the criteria, and I might as well run it down now in case for some reason you're not a fan of our Facebook page and you're just happen to be listening to this, which one, awesome, good. But for those that don't know, if you don't know, we have started a contest that is going to run from this podcast through the podcast after Fastlane, so through the February 22nd podcast. It will run 1 week, that 1 week of having that podcast up, so that, you know, if you don't get to listen to it right away, don't worry. At the end of each podcast, there's going to be a question from the podcast that you just listened to. Send us a message on our through Facebook email system. Do not post on our wall. You will be disqualified for that week if you post the answer instead of sending it to us privately. I actually, when we record this, I haven't discussed this with Kevin, but I am either stupid or very generous, and I have upped the prizes for the contest, so which means I really need to go out and find a job. Is your personal assistant still, are you still searching for that?
Yes, but it doesn't pay, so I don't know that you want to do that.
Anyway, so we're going to give three winners for this contest. Each week, if you listen to the podcast, answer the question, you get an entry into the contest. At the end, we will randomly draw names. First prize is a 3-month subscription to WrestleCrate, which I've heard is an awesome thing. I have not signed up for it myself. I've only seen reviews, but I think it, for any wrestling fan, it should be something exciting. Second place will be a $25 Shop WWE gift card. And third prize will be a Sting prize pack to celebrate Sting going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. So,
good prizes.
What's that?
Those are good prizes.
Yeah, I think so. I would be listening to our podcast for those prizes.
Can we win?
Yes, we need to rig this so that one of us wins. Have your sons.
Yes.
So, you know, I think for being the first week, I want to keep this simple. And I'm just going to say this week's question is, which Royal Rumble do I consider to be the worst of all 29 Royal Rumbles? If you know the answer, email us and you'll be entered. And for more details, which will probably be better self-explained in written form, check out the My123Cent Facebook page. We will have all the details posted there.
Yeah, it's easy. Facebook.com/My123Cents. Send us a message. Don't post it on the wall. I know that there are two or three of you that are listening now that will post it on the wall, and you will be disqualified and admonished, and, you know, we will shake our finger at you and all that good stuff.
You know, and if it happens more than once, we may have to get out the ban hammer.
Did you say van hammer or ban hammer?
If we could get ban hammer on the show, that would be awesome too.
I'm working on that. Chad, do you have any final thoughts on the Royal Rumble as we kind of start to wind things down?
Just, I am really glad that I did not break down and go down to Orlando like I had thought about. I think I would have been severely disappointed. But I'm going to try to remain hopeful and positive and see where we go on the road to WrestleMania before you and I actually get on the road to WrestleMania, and we'll see what happens. If it's Triple H versus Roman Reigns, I will probably hit up Redneck Heaven a little bit earlier and enjoy my time there. So.
All righty. Well, folks, you've heard the contest rules and whatnot. Also, check us out on Twitter at My123Cents. We're on YouTube as well as the blog at My123Cents.com. So thanks again for listening, downloading, and sharing. Welcome aboard if you're a first-time listener. Be sure to let your friends and family know as well. We will see you guys next time.